News. I'm Chuck Severson. In the Between a Rock and a Hard Place Department, Republican lawmakers who heard President Trump and Elon Musk today at a cabinet meeting at the White House announced more layoffs, firings, and buyouts of federal employees are coming. On Capitol Hill, ABC's Jay O'Brien.
They have constituents in their various districts, some of whom are federal employees that have lost their jobs, that are demonstrating. And on the other side, they have to demonstrate loyalty here to President Trump, who has fully thrown his support behind Elon Musk.
President Trump also announcing he'll sign a mineral mining deal with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House Friday, not confirmed by Zelensky. A federal judge has temporarily blocked efforts to stop refugee resettlements, saying a Trump order goes against the system Congress set up. A death of a child in the U.S. from measles in Texas. Pope Francis still in a Rome hospital with pneumonia, the Vatican reporting a further slight improvement. This is ABC News. Hamas was set to hand over the bodies of four hostages late tonight. A new warning for certain Jeep owners, ABC's Mike Dubusky.
Stolen Jeep Cherokees and Grand Cherokees have been connected to violent crimes in the Cleveland area in recent months, with police there saying thieves are using special scanners to clone the SUV's key fob and replicate them on blank fobs. Authorities add the process only takes about 90 seconds and that any vehicle can be vulnerable to this type of theft.
A new study suggests that closely following the Mediterranean diet could help lower the risk of cancer, in particular obesity-related cancers. The Mediterranean diet focuses on plant-based foods, healthy fats, moderate amounts of animal proteins. It's known to help reduce abdominal fat, but the study found waist-to-hip ratios didn't seem to be the reason for the reduced risk, so more research will be done about it. Chuck Severson, ABC News.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. Wisconsin lawmakers reintroducing legislation that would ban trans women and girls from playing in the sport that matches their gender identity.
The bill from Oconomowoc Republican Representative Barb Dietrich follows the Wisconsin Interscholastic Athletic Association's announcement last week that it is changing policy on transgender athletes. WIAA will comply with President Donald Trump's executive order barring transgender women and girls from playing women's and girls' sports. Dietrich's bill would require transgender women and girls in K-12 schools, universities of Wisconsin schools, and technical colleges to play the sport that aligns with their sex assigned at birth. Governor Tony Evers has criticized the legislation as discriminatory and has said he will veto any bill that makes Wisconsin less welcoming for LGBTQ people and kids. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Governor Evers is fearful of what Trump administration policies might mean for Wisconsin.
At the end of the day, the idea that somehow things aren't going to happen from Washington, D.C., and the things that they are doing around tariffs, there's no question that's going to impact our economy.
Evers commented to the Wisconsin Counties Association's annual legislative conference in Madison Tuesday. He and other governors met with President Trump at the White House last week. UW-Madison Chancellor Jennifer Mnookin has concerns about the Trump administration's efforts to cut federal funding for medical research.
There are significant threats to the operation of whether our universities can continue to serve our state in the ways that they have. If we take what's on the table and just toss it all out, I think that the people of Wisconsin and the people of our nation will be paying for that for a long time.
Wisconsin and 21 other states have sued to stop the cuts, which would limit indirect costs on research grants to 15%. That's down from 50%. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
At AdMed Health, we believe wholeness isn't any one field. It's all of them. Laughter to tears and everything in between. So let your hearts overflow. Let your spirits dare to hope. And let the sun shine through. May you always live in wonder, wondering at this life. And never, ever stop reaching for what makes you feel whole. Learn more at adventhealth.com/human spirit.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Mostly cloudy today, but still mild, with high temperatures reaching the mid-40s and a few spotty sprinkles here this afternoon. That'll flip to a few flurries overnight as temperatures fall below freezing to 30 degrees. And we stay slightly cooler tomorrow with highs in the upper 30s. Get faster and cheaper internet from Whole Home Connect, 1-800-217-9129. Right now, 44 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
And it calls for big spending cuts, including cuts to funding for the Farm Bill. We'll get the latest on the budget bill and economic aid. Then it's time for this week's Farmer Forum, and this week, we've got quite a list of issues to sort through.
Live from the foothills of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning, we'll begin with a conversation with Paul Niefer, that's the Farm CPA. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Ben Renshie and Ryan Wagner. And directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Hey, thank you so much. Welcome to AgriTalk, everybody. Glad that you're with us on this Wednesday morning. Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning up here in Northeast Iowa, dude.
Yeah, it is down here in the city of Kansas as well. I'm pulling up my, 53 degrees here, headed for a high of, well, only 61 today. So a little bit of a cool off from yesterday. Bro, we hit 67 yesterday.
My gosh.
I just went and stood out. I just went outside there. You know what I mean?
I hear you. Yeah. Yeah. We were, when the sun was out yesterday here in Northeast Iowa, there was some power to it. You could feel it. Yeah. We're only at 44 degrees right now, but I've already been outside a couple of times this morning, and it feels wonderful.
It does.
Out there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? You know, if we can string this together for a few days, you know, maybe we could say something about the end of winter. I don't want to go there yet.
I don't know, dude.
I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to get fooled into thinking that it's spring.
Well, don't let me fool you, too, here, because we're here in the Constantinople of the Midwest, where we're about 3 to 4 weeks ahead of that schedule.
Yeah.
So, you know, when we might be there.
Okay.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I hope the best for you.
Yeah,
you know,
thank
I wish
you.
The best.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. okay. Spending bill. We're going to get the latest on it from Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, including what it might mean to the tax bill going forward. This is the one big, beautiful bill. It passed the House. So we're going to get some perspective on it from Paul Niefer. And then the Farm Reform, Ben Renshie here in Iowa and Ryan Wagner in South Dakota. We'll probably start off just getting an update on whether or not they think spring may have sprung.
That's good.
Okay.
We'll start with that. Yeah.
Excellent. Let's get to the news here.
Sure thing. Well, the National Weather Service is looking for a clipper system to bring scattered rain and snow showers from the Midwest to the Northeast through the next couple of days. Another clipper system will reach the upper Great Lakes late Thursday, bringing additional snowfall above to well above temperatures are expected to persist for most of the country. Big news here. Chip, USDA Secretary Brooke Rollins announced the Trump administration will invest up to $1 billion in new funding to combat impacts of highly pathogenic avian influenza and soaring egg prices. Rollins laid out a five-point plan focused on biosecurity, financial relief for impacted producers, vaccines and therapeutics, and other policy shifts. Rollins advised the Wall Street Journal, quote, "There's no silver bullet to eradicating avian flu." Chip?
Yeah, there it is. There it is. That's the big one.
Yep.
That's the big announcement that we were looking for, and I guess if there's any money left over, we're going to fly everybody down to open up the new swimming pool.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like fun. But there's 5 points in this plan. They all make sense to me, but, boy, it's going to be in the execution and making this work across the industry. That's going to be the tough part.
Well, Chip, President Trump ordered a probe into potential new tariffs on copper imports to rebuild U.S. production of a metal critical to electric vehicles, military hardware, the power grid, and many consumer goods. Trump signed an order at the White House directing Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick to start a national security probe under Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act. That's the same law Trump used in his first term to impose 25% global tariffs on steel and aluminum. Section 232 in the news again.
Yep. Yeah. Tariffs based on national security issues. Yep.
Well, BP has announced a major strategic shift, moving away from its aggressive renewable energy targets to refocus on oil and gas production. The decision follows shareholder pressure and financial underperformance compared to competitors. Mexico's lower house of Congress has approved a constitutional reform to ban planting genetically modified corn. The measure passed 409-69. The reform designates native corn as an element of national security. However, concerns have emerged over a provision stating that any other use of GM corn must be evaluated for potential risk to biosecurity, health, and cultural heritage. Chip, attaching their version of corn to national health and cultural heritage there. That's a big one.
Yeah, and the health thing there, that's just ridiculous when we're still questioning the food safety issues around GM corn. That's just ridiculous.
Well, the House passed the Republican budget resolution by a razor-thin vote of 217 to 215. The fiscal year 2025 budget blueprint paves the way for up to $4.5 trillion in tax cuts and new breaks, offset by $2 trillion in spending reductions over the next decade. It also includes provisions for a $4 trillion debt limit increase and funding boosts for border security and defense. Some GOP lawmakers in the budget reconciliation talks want to repeal the Inflation Reduction Act's clean energy credits. Republicans are looking for savings from the credits that Democrats passed in 2022. Chip, over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. We'll talk about that spending bill with Paul Niefer coming up in just a bit. Right now, let's bring in Margie Ackelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
All right. So give me some perspective on what might be the number one challenge for ag retailers this year.
Well, I tell you what, with all this talk of these false springs we're having, and I even got my Burpee seed catalog yesterday, so folks, stock up on your fungicide seed treatments. But no, Chip, I think I've had a couple of interviews, and one of them just got released yesterday on the Scoop podcast with Eric Eller. He's a crop consultant there in northern Indiana, and he really enlightened this idea that the number one challenge this year maybe farmer mindset. And how do we overcome doing things the way that we've always done them? And he really drills down into enabling farmers to make these choices with tight margins, with lower commodity prices, with weather uncertainty, with data. And having that field level data to help bring you a finer resolution to your decision making. And this is being developed in parallel and colliding with new technologies that are enabling real-time in-field decisions. So maybe that's drones. Maybe that's in-field tissue testing to be able to micromanage those micro and macronutrients out in the field. But really an openness to how you can elevate your agronomic A game and bring about higher productivity while recognizing some areas of the field may be lower producing. But how do we really move the needle on those higher producing areas? And it comes with a willingness to use data and new technology tools.
Yeah. Data provides proof. And that proof is what farmers are looking for before they invest much in some of those products out there. But once they've got the proof and the data in front of them, it's time to make the leap. Margie, good stuff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chip.
All right. Get more from Margie at www.thedailyscoop.com.
As a grower, when you take out a land loan from FBN Finance, you're borrowing more than money. You're borrowing expertise from loan advisors who are often farmers themselves. You're borrowing loan technology that makes smart decisions faster and easier. Don't just borrow money. Borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Seed Innovation Protection Alliance seed company members invest 15% of sales into new seed innovations for your cereal acres. Check the bag for certified seed or single-use agreement restrictions so you don't step over the line. Or talk to your seed dealer. Plant breeders develop better, stronger genetics for your farm. So let's reinvest together to improve yields and quality. Without your patronage and trust, seed companies wouldn't be able to continually develop new genetics, traits, seed treatments, and other innovations to meet your needs.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
I taught for 20 years.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Talk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. All right, man, let's move right into this. We've got some big news overnight. The House passed the budget resolution. We need to get some perspective on what that might mean for other pending legislation and the tax package and everything. Paul Niefer, Farm CPA, joins us right now. Good morning, Paul. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you, too.
All right. So what do we know with certainty about this House budget resolution?
Oh, I wish you hadn't used that word certainty, but what we know is that the House passed the bill last night with a squeaker. I mean, it was basically a one vote, two vote a majority, but essentially they're calling for cost cuts of up to $2 trillion over 10 years. Now, it does affect the USDA budget. The cost cuts there are up to about $230 billion. Now, likely emphasis is on SNAP reductions or some type of SNAP reductions, but we know if that happens, you know, it's going to be very difficult to get a farm bill passed this year if that really does happen. Now, over on the tax side, assuming they get their $2 billion of cost cuts, then they can increase the deficit by cutting taxes up to $4.5 trillion over 10 years. So the net effect is a reduction or an increase in the deficit of about $2.5 trillion if they get everything they want.
Yeah. Well, I like that there's some economic incentive here to get the budget cuts or savings as up to that $2 trillion level over 10 years. USDA would have to cut $230 billion of that over the 10 years. But like you said, Paul, if lawmakers are going to target SNAP or the nutrition title of the farm bill for most of those cuts, man, that's just a higher hurdle for the farm bill to clear then, isn't it?
Well, we already have an extremely high hurdle already.
Yeah.
You know, it's been 2 years. Well, we're on our third year of a no farm bill. You know, we're from 2018. This is the seventh year, almost the eighth year. It's going to be a very high hurdle. And now we know over on the Senate side. So we got to remember this is the House. Over on the Senate side, they're only calling for a $1 billion reduction in the USDA budget. So maybe it ends up somewhere in between. Now, the other thing I'm hearing now, too, a little bit is we know over on the Senate side, they keep talking about, hey, we know we were going to extend the tax cuts. So that isn't even going to affect the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, in the House is now maybe some of the leadership in the House is maybe talking, well, maybe we'll go along with that. If that happens, that means likely we'll have a permanent tax cuts. We may also get Trump's, proposals to no taxes on tips, no taxes on Social Security, no taxes on overtime. You know, so we may be looking at, in my opinion, a large increase to the deficit, even though on paper they're going to say, well, no, it's not really an increase to the deficit. So, you know, who knows? You know, the Republicans feel like they like to spend money right now in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you can see it. You can see it. And that is creating the division within the GOP that, you know, Johnson is having to manage it and Thune's going to have to manage it in the Senate side too. So,
yeah, the Senate's, they have a few more moderates over there, you know, certainly Collins and so on. Now they can afford to lose three of those and still be able to get everything through. So I think they're probably still going to be okay, but, and certainly, I think Trump would like to get one big, beautiful bill passed here in the next, June, July, something like that. It won't happen before then. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. So extend this to a conversation on the reference prices in the farm bill. If they come after the SNAP program, the urban lawmakers are going to come after the reference prices, right? Even crop insurance.
Yeah, I'd be more concerned about them going after crop insurance. Remember, the reference prices, they're very helpful to the farmers, but there's a big cap on that. I mean, it's $125,000 or $155,000, depending on what happens on the bill. Whereas on crop insurance, you know, you can blow through $125,000 if you're a decent-sized farmer, and that's unlimited as far as your relief. So I think, you know, if they keep reference prices where they're at, yes, it's going to hurt many, many farmers. But, you know, I think having some certainty over on the crop insurance side is certainly going to be more valuable, I think.
Yeah, I think that's probably correct. I mean, doesn't it feel like the whole safety net discussion is moving further and further in the direction of crop insurance all the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And then I think what will happen is certainly if we don't get any increase in reference prices, we're going to continue to have some ad hoc payments, just like, you know,
right,
the $10 billion economic relief that maybe we're going to get an announcement this week, hopefully, or early next week. And then, you know, we get that March 14th deadline on doing a continuing resolution. If that gets delayed or they shut down the government, you know, farmers may not get any payments until April or something. You know, who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, on that economic aid. Are you hearing anything else on that, how it might be
implemented? I noticed in Jim Wiesmeyer's newsletter this morning that likely it would probably be maybe like an 85% payout at the beginning just to make sure that they have the correct amount of funds. And then the remaining 10 or 15% would be paid out, let's say, in June once they get everything reconciled. Now, obviously, you know, Congress said thou shalt have it paid within 90 days. But the administration, doesn't matter whether it's USDA or IRS or whoever it is, sometimes those deadlines go by and they sort of get missed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What about that's on the economic aid. What about the disaster aid?
Haven't heard anything yet. You know, typically, if you look at all of the disaster aid that's been passed over the last, let's say, 6-7 years, WIP Plus or whatever it might be, CFAP. Well, no, that wasn't disaster, but ERP.
It took
USDA 6 months or so to come up with the guidelines. So if we use that same type of timeline, you know, sometime in May, June, I would guess we'll get the disaster aid, especially the fact we got a change in administration. You know, we've had multiple layoffs in USDA. I think realistically we're looking at, you know, before you're going to get any payments, it's going to be sometime in the summer.
Yeah. And this disaster aid bill, well, and the economic bill too, these are the ad hoc or the off budget programs that you're talking about that are going to be more likely if we don't see any changes on the reference prices or crop insurance or something to improve the safety net in the farm bill, right?
Yeah. Well, and we're getting close. You know, if they don't pass a farm bill this year, we got another 1 year extension. So that'll be through the 26 crop year. That means if we get a farm bill, a 27 farm bill means most farmers on reference prices won't get a payment until October of 28. You know, that's what, 3.5 years from now. So, you know, the idea that the farm bill is going to help row crop farmers, even if they passed one this year, you're not getting any money from it. I mean, you know, you're not going to get anything until October of 27 at the earliest. So, you know, so that's why I think if the economy starts going down, the farm economy goes down, we're looking at ad hoc payments. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't think there's any question about that. Is there an update on the BOI reporting?
Yes. Okay. FinCEN came out last week. Well, actually, there was a resolution on one of the last court cases, so to speak. But you are required to file your FinCEN report by March 21st. Now, FinCEN, that's the Financial Crimes Information Network where you file it, has indicated that they might come out with some guidance indicating that you might not have to file it if it's a simple, you know, husband and wife LLC that owns some farmland. Maybe you won't have to file that. But as of right now, all of those reports have to be filed by March 21st, which is less than a month to go. You know, if you want to keep up on it, you know, I'll certainly be posting on my blog at farmcpareport.com as far as any updates. But as of right now, any farmer that's got an LLC or a corporation, you have to file your report by March 21st.
And just a reminder, there's a stick for enforcement on this, not a carrot, right?
Yeah, the stick is potentially, it's now, I think, approaching $600 a day because it's indexed to inflation, around $600 a day for every day you're late. Now, we hear maybe the maximum penalty is $10,000, but that's for willful avoidance of it. But I think if you miss it, you'll get a notice, and then you can take care of it then. But I wouldn't count on that.
Yeah, don't count on it. No question about it. Neifer, good stuff, man. Thanks for hopping on.
You're welcome. Thanks, Chip.
All right, you bet. Paul Neifer, Farm CPA Report, farmcpareport.com. And you can also see his commentaries at agweb.com. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next.
This is Andrew McCray, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in their industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends from grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
Tax season is here. Don't pay more than you have to. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
Milk markets are mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins at the Mercantile Exchange. March milk up 6 to 1876, April down 2 to 1838, May down 4 to 1852, June milk down 9 at 1793. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets are moving mostly lower as the traders take a pause after the recent gains in the markets. Even though there's been some strength in the box beef prices, high demand for feeder cattle in the countryside, but the trade is taking some profits and a bit of a pause today. Hog markets, though, turning mostly higher with triple-digit gains after recent losses. Strength in pork cutout values helping to support the markets, along with some short covering. February live cattle down 60 cents to 198.90. March feeder cattle down 2 cents to 274.20. April hogs up $1.55 to 88.12. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat are all moving mostly lower today. A risk-off type of trade continues to hold in the grain markets today. There's not a lot of fresh bullish fundamental news. Also, soybean products have softened as well. The South American harvest is continuing. Argentina's catching up on moisture as well. And that is all combining to pressure the markets. Wheat also moving lower with that risk-off type of trade. Warmer weather in the southern plains and Matif wheat prices are also lower. New crop corn down 3.25 to 466 and 3/4. New crop beans down 4.75 to 1046 and a quarter.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us for the Farmer Forum. Let's go ahead and get this going. Ryan Wagner up in Northeast South Dakota. Ryan, how are you, buddy?
doing great, Chip.
Good, good, good. How things look up there today?
Oh, we've got a beautiful day today. The sun is shining, and we're sitting right around 45 degrees already this morning. After last week's cold snap, this has felt pretty nice. So
yeah,
it's making a mess out of the yards and stuff, but yeah, feels awful lot like spring out there today.
It sure does. What's your soil moisture situation up there?
Well, right here locally, we went into the fall in pretty decent shape. I mean, we had a pretty dry finish to the growing season last year, like everybody did. But around here, that's usually a good thing. We struggle with moisture, with having too much moisture in the spring and getting things planted in a timely manner. So we went into the fall pretty dry, which is all right. And we have not had a whole lot of snow this winter, just very little snow, which, you know, for us with, you know, how cold it gets here, a lot of that doesn't soak into the ground anyway, so yeah, it's just run off for the most part. So I don't know, I think we're set up for a pretty good spring here, but it's still only February 26th. There's a long ways to go yet, but things look pretty good.
Good, good. All right. And we've got Ben Renchi from Northeast Iowa. Ben, how are you, man? Good to see you last week.
Good morning, Chip. A lot like Ryan. Beautiful spring morning here. We've been hauling corn to meet cash flow needs for March 1. The rally since late last year's felt great, but just today we're working on sprayers. We got the booms folded out in the yard, and we're a little short on moisture here, although February's a pretty good time to have a drought. But the northern tier of Iowa, you look on a drought map, it's going to take some catch up this spring to get us in a good place.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And we can catch up. We need to keep that in mind. But, you know, when we had Drew Lerner on the show yesterday talking about, you know what, we've got some concerns about a drier bias for the middle and western part of the Corn Belt going forward. Ben, without a lot of reserves going into spring, that's a little concerning, isn't it?
Well, it takes 3 months to get dry. It takes 30 minutes to get wet. So we'll just see what happens, Chip. I'm not going to worry too much.
Okay. All right. Well put. Well put. Acres. Let's talk about that a little bit. We've got the USDA Ag Outlook Forum starts tomorrow, and we're going to get their first, the first, I guess, official thought from Seth Meyer, the USDA chief economist there. What are you hearing up in South Dakota, Ryan? That's where the swing acres are. Is there a trend in acres one direction or the other up there?
You know, it's like always probably going to be a lot dependent on the spring weather. I mean, I think everybody's fully aware that corn pencils out a lot better than soybeans at this point. So if weather allows and we can get off to a good early start, I think we do see a pretty good swing over to corn acres in our area. If we have a spring like last year, it's going to be tough to get those acres to swing much because we just had such a run of rain last spring, just several systems in a row that just kept us out of the field until late May, early June in many cases. So going to be really weather dependent, but I think guys want to plant corn. And I think they intend to plant more corn this year. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Ben? You hearing any trends?
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to the Outlook conference numbers this week. Just bear in mind, these are the guys that single-handedly caused the 2024 corn recession by, promising us copious amounts of extra corn last year and spent the winter walking it back, which I thank them for the rally. No opinions in that. But I think if you look at screens for a living, you think that there's going to be a lot of corn, 95, 96 million acres, because it just pencils so much better. But if you talk to people who raise corn, and seed dealers are saying a definite increase. I mean, like our farm will go from 60% corn to two-thirds. We'll be up 6% this year.
Okay.
But, you know, it takes a lot more capital to put it out there. And farmers' working capital has been taxed the last 2 years. And if you've got a banker in your life, telling him you need more money this year to put in a crop rather than the same is a pretty, between that and a root canal, I don't know which would be, you know, more fun. And, you know, then you think to the harvest issue, you're going to have a lot more corn. You got to handle it. You got to truck it. You got to dry it. You got to store it. So I'm more, my guess would be some, you know, kind of a 94-ish number would be my guess just based on the last 30 years of farming. I think, budget constraints and the workload, and you know, another thing that plays into this are the conservation or carbon and cover crop programs. There's just a lot of farms that have entered into contractual agreements to farm a little bit different, which, you know, requires more crop rotation and biodiversity. Yep, and that may take a little crisp edge off of it.
Gotcha. Yep. That makes sense to me. Makes a lot of sense to me as that goes, putting a cap on the ability to add corn acres. Makes a lot of sense to me. But I don't know, Ryan, what's your number on corn?
Yeah, I'm kind of in that same ballpark. I mean, you don't have to look very far back to see a pretty good analog year in 2023. 2023, we had some pretty good corn prices. Beans were, of course, over $13 back then. But our final corn number in 2023 was 94.6, and soybeans were 83.6. So, if you're looking for a total acreage mix between the two in that, you know, 178 to 180 range, you know, depending on prevent plants and things like that, I think somewhere around that 94, 95 million acre number is pretty fair at this point. I mean, that's a substantial increase. That's almost a 5 million acre increase over last year. So, I'm kind of in that same ballpark. Somewhere between 94 and 95. And I see that, the trade estimate for the USDA outlook number tomorrow is a little lower than that at 93.6. I think they have it. So,
right. So
we'll see. Like I said, that's just an economist guess. Best guess at things at this point.
That's right. Yeah. I'm thinking that we're going to pick up some acres out of the South. Cotton is trying to give acres away, and I think they're going to be successful doing that. You got the Dease contract in cotton at just under 69 cents. That's not enough to give anybody incentive to plant. So I think we pick up some acres down there. But I'm no higher than 178.5 on the combined corn and soybean acres.
Yeah.
And then how it gets divvied up, split up from there is going to be, you know, the details that you guys will work out, not for me to figure out. So, but yeah, it's going to be interesting to see those numbers tomorrow. And, you know, but guys, Ben, I'll go to you first on this. If we've got to make a push to get more acres planted, we just need to get out there and, you know, upgrade the equipment fleet, right?
Well, that's not the option it's been in the past. I mean, if you need to, you know, think inflation hasn't been fully fire hosed down and extinguished. I mean, dealer ask on machines is not backing down, but the new digital auction space that trades used equipment and when dealers have to raise cash flow show the true value of this equipment. The trade differentials between new and near new models, you know, machines that come in on the fleet roll programs, and the real value is crazy. And that's another thing it plays into corn. Your corn crop is going to, you know, use tax your equipment fleet 50% more. And interest rates, it's more expensive to buy equipment. And recurring revenue models, you know, if you buy a new corn planter, you probably got $10,000 of annual software unlocks and subscription fees. So that part of the corn equation is getting more expensive. I do want to throw out a comment. I have an informed opinion on the Mid-South and Delta corn. I was talking to a farmer from down there yesterday. And he says it's going to be wall-to-wall corn, and that's what's going to replace cotton. And then if you've ever been to New Orleans where they load barges, you learn that the South corn is lighter test weight, softer corn. They need to blend that corn off with northern corn. You know, they buy number two corn everywhere, but they get number three in the Mid-South and Delta. They get number one in the North, and they have to blend it. So they're kind of partners. But their real goal is to have prevent plant corn. Oh, my gosh. You know, let's say we're going to plant corn, get the prevent plant check, and then in the delay period, plant the second crop of soybean. So we'll see if all those corn acres come to fruition.
Yeah. Yeah. That's I hear you. But that's it certainly looks like that is the trend. Hey, Ryan, any observations on crop insurance going into the season? I mean, we're about to get the final spring price.
Yeah. It looks like we're going to settle in around that a little over 470 on corn and maybe just shy of 1060 on beans. Tough to move the number from here on out. So, looking at that as a percentage of what that will cover for cost of production, I mean, still leans towards corn on our farm anyway. So I think for that reason, if guys are looking at the crop insurance protection side of things, definitely looking at more corn and like Ben said, on a prevent plant basis, that's, corn's the way to go there as well.
Yeah,
I think all signs point to a little more corn on the crop insurance side as well.
Gotcha. We're in the middle of this week's Farmer Forum. Ben Renchi from Iowa, Ryan Wagner from South Dakota. We're going to talk tariffs, Secretary Rollins, 45Z. It's all coming up next.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
You still thinking job change in the new year?
Yeah, I need something that's in high demand and more stable in this economy.
IT?
Yeah, cybersecurity, maybe even AI.
That's what I did.
Really? How?
Went to My Computer Career. You don't need any prior experience, and you could start your new career in a matter of months. A lot of IT pros go to school there, too, to level up.
Sweet. Are classes online or on campus?
Both.
Well, I'll check it out. Thanks.
Make this your year. Take the free career evaluation now at mycomputercareer.edu.
Financial aid is available for qualified students, including the GI Bill.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-635-3311. That's 1-800-635-3311.
SelectQuote. We shop. You save. Full details on example policies at selectquote.com/commercials.
With Dr. Carl Wyatt, Director of Agronomy at Nutrien, we're going to put a little twist on that conversation right now and talk about soil pH. Carl, why is soil pH such a critical factor when we're looking at fertilizer plan?
Soil pH is such a strong determinant of soil conditions that promote nutrient availability. For example, let's pick on phosphorus, one of our big three macronutrients. In acidic soil, you can have aluminum and iron tie up of your phosphate. On more basic or alkaline soils, you can actually tie up your phosphate fertilizer with calcium. So we often think about soil pH and how to manage it because we know it's going to impact our ability to supply nutrients to the crop.
All right. What is that ideal pH range?
There's some wiggle room here, and there's some exceptions. If you shoot for a soil pH range around 7, you've got some wiggle room there, 6.5, 7.2. You're shooting for a good target there.
Gotcha. So how is it measured? How do we measure the pH, and how often should you test?
Yeah, pH can be quickly and cheaply measured with your soil test. So if you're going to get your soil tested for nutrients, they typically throw pH on there anyways. It's just in another row somewhere on that soil test. And that soil pH measurement can be used along with something called buffer pH to write management recommendations, particularly for lime. And we use that lime to help turn an acidic soil into something more neutral. So lots of good information there.
All right. Excellent, Carl. Where can we go for more information?
If you'd like to hear more about soil pH, visit nutrien-economicswithak.com to browse our one-of-a-kind tools, unique research, and original content to keep your soil and bottom line as healthy as possible.
Excellent. Thank you, Carl. That is Dr. Carl Wyant, Director of Agronomy at Nutrien.
Need help navigating these markets or consulting for your operation? Let agmarket.net help. Receive personalized support and market guidance from seasoned commodity brokers, transparent account access, education and strategy resources, live calls, and access to research. Interested in consulting? AgMarket.net is able to help establish a customized marketing plan specific to your operation. Head to AgMarket.net or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back. We are in the middle of this week's Farmer Forum. Ben Renchi in Northeast Iowa, Ryan Wagner in Northeast South Dakota. Okay, guys, we are a little more than a month into the Trump presidency. Ben, what's your takeaways? What have we learned?
I think every academic and legacy media journalist, and I might add liberal to that list, has never traded a combine before or negotiated the price of seed corn. Because when they hear the word tariff, they're immediately triggered. They assume it goes into place, and it's going to happen. That's all there is. We we bake that cake before we have the mix out of the box. And if you're a farmer, you realize what the new administration doing is negotiating. I mean, for a cost of net zero, we tell Mexico we're going to tariff unless they stop illegal immigration pressures and help us on that issue and keep drugs, fentanyl, from coming across the border. Kind of the same scenario for China and Canada. And, you know, just by, you know, waving the big stick, look, we've gotten all kinds of progress on these issues. I just don't think all these, we've got an administration that is pro-business. Yes, they will make, you know, some pretty stiff claims about what's going to happen, but how much of it is just negotiating?
Yep, good observation there. Ryan, what do you think about the tariff talk and what it's gotten for him so far? I mean, the trade war with Colombia lasted a whole 3 hours. It looks like we might see the tariffs on imports from Mexico and Canada implemented this next week. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I don't think that, you know, the long-term ramifications is what we don't really know yet. And when we use tariffs as a negotiating tool, in, you know, just throwing them out with the emergency clause, that does undercut our credibility, I think. And, you know, USMCA is a great example. I mean, just by threatening these tariffs, it basically undercut the USMCA, which President Trump himself negotiated and signed.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're being looked at as an unreliable trade partner when we do some of these things, you know. I'm pro free trade, and I don't agree with necessarily using these tariffs as a negotiating tool. For that reason, U.S. and or Mexico and Canada are some of our best trade partners in ag, and I just think there's better methods to get what we want through these negotiations.
Yeah. You know, tariffs are something that I've been fairly vocal about over the years, that I'm not in favor of them. I'm still not in favor of them. but my stance has softened when it comes to the reciprocal tariffs. In other words, if a country has a tariff on the U.S. products that they are importing, then there should be a tariff on the products from those countries as well. So it's we're still learning, I think, guys, is kind of the bottom line here. We're still learning exactly what it's going to take. And there's a big test coming just, you know, next week. And we'll see how serious they are about putting tariffs on Mexican and Canadian imports. So we'll see. Ben, what are your thoughts on Secretary Rollins so far?
I give her an A+ for her opening few weeks on the job. I was fortunate enough to have a few words with her last week at the Top Producer Summit. She's so bright. She's so articulate. And she's so interested in what farmers are doing. She's made tours of farms. She's made tours at egg facilities, you know, poultry farms to see what should be done better with the avian flu issue. She's been to feed yards to talk about immigrant labor, documented and undocumented. I think she's off to a great start. And good. I think most farmers don't exactly understand how high she was in the Trump, I'll just call it the Trump team. She was the head of America First Policy Institute, which is a great think tank for the conservative politics that DOGE comes out of. And President Trump has put her in charge of the, you know, of the USDA. And I think for some really innovative, creative things will come out of the USDA. The day after the inauguration, I had some experience where, was at the USDA, and it was a ghost town. People hadn't been at their desks for months, if not a year or two. And I think it's going to be like Kelly Loeffler at the SDA. I think show up or get out or do your 5-bullet point memo. Or if you don't even open the email, maybe you're not doing any work, you know? So
Loeffler's video. Oh, good, good. Loeffler's video was just like, whoa, what is going on? What's your take, Ryan, on Secretary Rollins?
Yeah, I haven't met her, obviously, but if she, you know, if Ben says she's bright and articulate, I'd definitely in some of our leaders, and if she's got, you know, good ag background, I think she'll do well.
Good.
I think one of the main things she's going to have to tackle is when DOGE does come to the USDA, what does that look like? What programs are we going to go after looking for fraud and abuse? And if there is fraud and abuse in crop insurance or in any of the other programs that are supported by USDA, we're going to have to be on board with that, just like we've a lot of the ag community has been on board with some of the other things that DOGE has supposedly uncovered. So what's good for the goose is good for the gander, I guess, as far as that goes. So, I think she does seem like a very bright individual, which is great.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. Hey, real quick, Ryan, that carbon pipeline, it's facing tough hurdles up there in South Dakota, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be tough sledding. I know there's some bills going through our legislature right now that would put a halt to some of the progress that we've made there in last year's legislative session. So, yeah, South Dakota's kind of the last domino to fall as far as that goes, and it's going to be tough.
Right. Ben, Ryan, thank you guys. Appreciate you making time for us this morning. All right.
Thank you, Chip.
You bet. Ben Renchie in Northeast Iowa, Ryan Wagner up in South Dakota. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. Brady Huck, Advanced Trading.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now.
800-550-8841.
Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. President Trump says while all other federal departments can expect a lot of layoffs and buyouts, he said Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security would not be cut. President Trump also announcing he'll sign a mineral mining deal with Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House on Friday, not